Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Kuf Hei Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara has continued the discussion on the statement of Avraham Sheshet, the Amar of Sheshet. Yesterday, at the bottom of the daf yesterday, we discussed Rav Sheshet's position, which is a kofer pipikadon aseh alav gazlan v'chayev bonsin. As soon as a person denies being in possession of a pikadon when he is lying, he becomes responsible for it as a gazlan. Rav Sheshet does not require him to take a shvu'ah to make a kinyan or to become chayav and onsin, but as soon as he does, he goes ahead and denies the fact that he is in possession of someone else's item that was given to him to watch, then already he is a gazlan, and he switches from being a shomer and all the responsibilities of a shomer to be a gazlan, and now he's chayav b'cholon sin. The Gemara at the end of the daf yesterday tried to bring a proof for him from a braiso, and said that the braiso also indicates such a distinction or such a position that when one doesn't take a shvu'ah and they simply deny that they are in possession of a pikadon, that they'll be chayav b'cholon sin. The Gemara rejected that and explained the braiso as being two cases of shvu'ah and two manifestations of the cases of Shua, and therefore we didn't have a proof or support to Rav Sheshet's position. Now the Gemara is going to continue with another question on Rav Sheshet. Meiti Rami Bar Chamo. Rami Chayona challenged this position of Rav Sheshet because we have a braisa. V'shekegdo chashur al shvua ketzat. The case of shekegdo chashur al shvua is a case where a person has to take a shvua, he's obligated to take a shvua, but he's unable to take the shvua. The reason that he is unable to take the Shavuah is because he's suspect for lying in Shavuot. We have other indications that he's lied before, he's done something wrong, that would indicate to us that he will lie with the Shavuah. So since he's obligated to take the Shavuah and he can't, Rabbanan instituted that the Shavuah flips to the person opposite, meaning that the Tel'ain, generally, and we're going to see this again in today's daf, that generally when one takes a Shavuah, one takes a Shavuah in a Torah, it's to be poter. It's to remove an obligation from himself. Someone else a claim against him, and the defendant takes the shvu'ah in order to poter himself, to remove the obligation to pay from him. Now, in this instance where he's unable to take the shvu'ah, why is he unable to take the shvu'ah? Because he is chashud al shvu'ah, right? He has some sort of questions about his nemanut, about his believability when it comes to taking shavuot, and because of that problem with believability, we say we flip the shvuah to the toin, to the one who's making the claim, the claimant in the case, and we say nishba v'notel. He'll make a shvuah and he'll collect or take the money in this instance. So what are instances where we do flip the shvuah? So the Raisa gives an example. Echad shvuot ha'idut includes someone who lied before when it came to shvuot ha'idut. Again, that's a case where someone was asked about knowing or knowledge of a case, and he says, I have no knowledge of the case, and someone says, I want you to take a shvu'ah to that effect, and he takes the shvu'ah that he has no knowledge of the case, and he's found to be lying. Ve'chad shvu'at ha'pikadon, ve'afilu shvu'at shav, or if it was a shvu'at ha'pikadon, he was found in another case to be lying, where someone had put something with him, or left something for him to watch, and then he took a shvu'ah to the effect that something had him to item, and we found out that he was lying. And the last case is a filu shvu'at shav, even a simple shvuat bitui, a shvuat that has nothing to do with nemanut and responsibility with regards to others, but simply someone who makes light of shvuot and takes a shvuat shav. He takes a shvuat that has nothing to do with kfirat mamon or doing bad things to other people, but simply he doesn't follow through on something that he took a shvuat to do, or he takes a shvuat about something he did and it's just untrue. So in all of these cases, the person becomes a chashud b'shvu'ah. He has lost his ability to be believed when it comes to shvuot, and therefore we flip the shvu'ah. V'mita, and if Rav Sheshet' position is true, then the Bryce left out another case. What's that other case? B'kefirahu d'ifsilei. Right, he already becomes posel de'idut simply with a kfirah. Why? Because he has a denial of a pikadon, he becomes a gazlan. And a gazlan is someone who certainly chashud al shvu'ah. So over here, why does the Mishnah enumerate, or the Braisa enumerate, a case of chashud al shvu'ah is a shvu'at ha'pikadon, or shvu'at ha'idut? Why not just also add in, or even more simply, put in a case of that it was kofer b'pikadon? So when it says, imre hachov ma'yaski anon, wait, this case is different. The case here, the reason why we can't use kfirah to classify him as a gazlan, and therefore he'll be a chashud al shvu'ah, is because the circumstances of this case are a little different. The case is that he does not have the pikadon in his hand. It's not with him right now, but rather the kaibagam, it's out in the swamp somewhere. It's out of his possession. Talav kfiruhu. It's not really a denial. Why? The sever ishtamitna le Ada izilna umaitinle. Says, I'm going to slip away. I'm going to get out of the problem right now. I can't return him to right now because I don't have it in my possession. I know it's in the agam. So I'll take a shvuah to delay him or to dismiss the case now. And then I'll go out to the agam and I'll go get it for him. Teda, how do I know there's such a distinction? Meaning that when someone, the reason a person is lying or the reason a person is taking a, reason a person is denying some fact, that there are different circumstances and the outcomes will be different because the Amar of Yidi Rabin, a kofer b'milveh, kashur le'edut. Someone who denies of having taken out a loan is kashur le'edut. He does not become a pasul le'edut just by simply denying a milveh. Other than be pikadon, pasul le'edut. If he denies having received a pikadon, he is pasul le'edut. What is the difference between them? So that's, we explained that by a milveh is the hotzanit. No. The money is expected to be spent and it'll be a dope. He doesn't have the money to pay back right now. So why is he denying the loan? He's denying the loan because he can't repay it right now. So his denial is a bid to buy time so that he can repay the loan later. Not that he's really trying to deny that the fact that the circumstances ever happened, but he's just trying to give himself more time to pay back the loan. On the other hand, by a pikadon, which is in his hand, he has the ability to return it right now, and he goes ahead and he denies the claim. In that instance, we say the reason that he's lying is because he is a liar. That he's someone who cannot be trusted anymore, and therefore he will be pasul le'edut. Clearly, if he takes the shvuat sheker, then it doesn't matter if it's a milveh or a pikadon. In that case, when he's taking the shvuat sheker, then he's nechshad, then he's suspect for taking false shvuot. So the case here is obviously when he didn't take a shvuah, but nevertheless, there's a difference, or we say a distinction between milveh and pikadon. So too, in our case over here, by pikadon, that's what Rav Sheshet will explain, or how he explained the problem that Rami Bar Chama raised, is it makes a difference when a person has a pikadon, he's making a denial. Depends where the pikadon is. If the pikadon is in his hand right now and he denies it, then he's a liar. And then we can't believe him. He's pasul le'edut and he's a gazlan right away. On the other hand, if the pikadon is not in his hand currently, right, it's out somewhere, then it looks or feels similar to a milveh, where he doesn't have the ability to return right now. So the reason he's denying the fact that the circumstances took place is in order to buy himself time in order to return the object so he can go out and get it from wherever it is. So if it's not presently in his possession, then we don't consider that denial to be, or put him into a position of being a gazlan. Tamar says, v'amar ilfa. Don't we have another case where ilfa says, shvu'ah kuneh? That what causes a gazlan to be kuneh is the shvu'ah. I mean, that the simple kfirah is not enough more of him to be koneh, to become a gazlan and chayv on sin. You need a shvuah that would go against Rav Sheshet against. Marzeh shvui de kanyo v'kfir lo kanyo. The implications from Ilfa's statement are negative Rav Sheshet against Rav Sheshet, because it sounds like only a shvuah works to create a kinyan, but it's not true of a simple denial. Marzeh will answer the same way we did by Rami Barchama's question. Achanayim de kanyo v'agam. The case by Ilfa, the reason that kfir doesn't work to create a kinyan or to make him into a gazlan to chayv on sin is because it's a case where the pikadon is not in his presence. It's not in his possession. The pikadon is out in the agam, and therefore his denial is not enough to create a kinyan, enough to be classified as a gazlan. He needs a shvuah. V'bayitema, and the other possibility of how to answer up the problem or the question from Ilfan Rav Sheshet is my shvuah koneh. Mikid Rav Huna, that shvuah koneh is not what we're thinking, but rather the position of Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna Marav, Monali Biyadecha. A person says, listen, I lent you 100 shekel v'hala omer in the chabiyadi. Another person says, you have nothing. Or a person says, I gave you a manet to watch. And the other person says, in the chabiyadi, you have nothing on me. Vinish ba, and he takes the shvuah. V'achar kach bo edim patur. And afterwards, edim come and testify that he really does have the object, or he really does owe the money, then he is patur. Shinemar, because it says, v'la kach be'ala v'lo yishalem. In the parsha of Shomer Sachar, in parshat Mishpatim, in parachav bet, it says, with regards to a Shomer Sachar, if he makes a claim of onus, then it says, Shvat Hashem Tehe B'nei Shem, Im Lo Shalach Yadu M'lech Dreh, it takes a Shvat that he did not use the item or get enough from the item, and that it was taken or the problem was an ones, v'lakach bala v'lo yishalem. The valim, the owners of the object, will accept the shvuah and they will get no payment. So we see that a shvuah closes the case. It's instead of payment. Meaning that once the owners have accepted the shvuah, case is closed and we do not reopen the case. So kevin shekiblu ha'balim shvuah shuvein mishalmim mamon. Doesn't matter. Once they've accepted the shvuah, doesn't matter if edim come afterwards, then you are not in Mishalei Mamot. So that's what the meaning of Amar Ilfa Shvuah Koneh. Shvuah Koneh is not talking about a case of meaning Gazlan and Chayv Be'Onsin, but rather Shvuah Koneh means that it becomes his. once he's taken the Shvuah and the Balim have accepted the Shvuah, it becomes the, into the, or it now is the possession of the Shomer, because the Balim accepted it. And even if Edim come along afterwards and say, listen, we really know that was in his possession, that will make no difference. So we're going to discuss this position of Rav Huna Marav. Gufa. Amar Rav Huna Marav. Mana li biyadecha. V'hala umer. And the other one says, אין לך בידי כלום. בניש באו באו עדים פטור. שנאמר לקח בעליו ולא ישלם. כאבן שקיבלו בעליהם ישבו שוב אם ישלמו ממון. So Amar Rava. Rava says, let me qualify this statement of Rav Huna Marav because I don't think it should be true in all cases. מסתבר מלתי דרב במלווה. Rav's statement makes sense when we're talking about a loan, because a loan is not in the possession of the individual who is taking the Shvuah. And therefore, when he takes the Shvuah in denial or instead of payment, when the Balim accept the Shvuah, it's in lieu of payment. If it's in lieu of payment, then Edim can't come along and be Mechayev him. Aval bepikadon b'shutei demareikai. When we're talking about a pikadon, it was always in the possession of the original owner. So therefore, even when he comes along and he takes a shvuah, it's a false shvuah here, and he takes the shvuah denying that he ever had this transaction or ever had possession of the pikadon, doesn't change the status or the fact that the pikadon belongs to the original owner. And if that's the case, then when Edim come along and identify it as the pikadon of the original owner, why shouldn't he get it back? Where it says, wait a minute, Ve'elukim, I'm a Rav, feel a pikadon. Meaning that, what are you talking about, Rav? How could you qualify Rav's statement like that? Because we know that Rav said it even by pikadon. Why? T'chiktiv krav pikadon k'tiv. Because where is this pasuk that Rav is quoting to prove v'lakach v'lav v'lishalem? It's found in the Pasha of Shomer Sachar. Okay, case of Shomer Sachar is clearly a case of pikadon. So if we have a case of pikadon, then Rav is making a statement about pikadon, not just about a milvet. So that can't, your distinction, your qualification of Rav's statement cannot be true. So you have to Rav Nachman Kamar HaShmaita. Rav Nachman was saying over this whole sugya that we just learned. Rav Acha bar Menuhin challenged Rav Nachman, but he really was challenging this position of Rav Huna Marav. Heichan pikdoni. The case where it says, where is my pikadon? I'm le'avad. So the person who is watching it says it was lost. So he says, Mashbiach ani. Says the owner of the object says, take a shvuah to that effect. Or Amen, he says, yes, I take a shvuah. Amen, I do. I swear that it was lost. Ve'edim, ve'edim oto shachlo. And then ve'edim come along and say, no, at the time that he said it was lost, he had eaten it. Meshalem et ha-keren. In that case, he repays the keren. Hodeh ba'atzmo. If ve'edim don't come up, but rather he admits himself that he lied in this case. Meshalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. So what do we see here? We see a case here where Edim show up afterwards and Eikim Mechayev, the Shomer, even though he took a Shvuah. He took a Shvuah to the fact that it was Avad. And nevertheless, we see Edim come along and Mechayev him afterwards. It says, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Chaskina. Wait, this case is different than the case of Rav. Why? Go Nish Bechutz the Beis Din. The case over here is a case where he took a Shvuah out of Beis Din. Rav's statement is only in a case where the Dayanim forced him to take a Shvuah. A Shvuah in Beis Din has the power of the Tokif to be in lieu of payment. But outside of Beis Din, and if someone makes Bashbiyah outside of Beis Din, that's not enough to become or to be in lieu of payment. It says, Amalei, okay, that's a nice answer. Yachem Seifa, what are you going to do with the second half of the Brisa that I just quoted? Heicha Pikdoni, where's my Pikadon? The Balim say to the Shomer, Amalei, Nignaf, it was stolen. It says, Mashbiyah Ani, he says, take a Shvuah to that effect. Varamene, he says, yes, take a Shvuah that it was stolen. Ve'edim, Edim, Otoshe Ganvo. And then the Edim come along and testify that he actually stole. The Shomer himself stole it, and it was in his possession when he took the Shvuah. Mishalem tashlume kefil. Then he's going to pay kefil. Hodem atzmo, if he admits by himself, Mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. So now Gemara says, V'yisak adav chochutz le'beis din. All right, so Rav Nachman, your solution for the first half of this brisa was that it happened outside of Beis Din. But if it's outside of Beis Din, you can't use that as a solution for the second half of the brisa. Why? Because if it's chutz le'beis din, miyaka kefil, there is no kefil. Kefil is a punishment or a penalty that only happens inside of Beis Din. Matoy Tanat Ganav, inside of Beis Din, where he takes the Shvuah. Outside of Beis Din, there's no Chiyuv Kefil. That only comes from the Dayanim, or Shvuah to Dayanim. So the obligation of Kefil indicates to us that the Sefer case must be in Beis Din. So he says, Amalei. So just as an aside now, the question, what the exact question on the position of Rav is unclear here. It's clear from the Reisha. If you already said that everything happened in Beis Din, the Reisha is certainly a question on Rav, because we say over there that if Edim come, even after he made a Tainat Avad, he said that it was lost, took a Shvuah to that effect, and Edim come, he has to pay. So it's clear if that Shvuah was taken in Beis Din and Shvuah to Dayanim, then that's a question on Rav's position. Now, why the Gemara, we'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to answer up or solve the problem, but it really never addresses the second half of the brisa, which also should be a problem for Rav, which is that if some person comes along and toin tanat ganav, right, and makes a taina of ganav, and then he takes a shvua and he has to pay kefil and beis din, it seems like Rav also has a, in that case, says that he's patur. So Rashi and Tosfos both deal with this issue, and they don't agree totally, but they basically indicate that the second half of the brisa, and we're going to see this in a second, that we know from further on that Rav's statement is going to be narrowed, and Rav's position is going to be narrowed. And in narrowing of Rav's positions, a lot of the things all the things mentioned in the second half of the brisa are going to be eliminated from Rav's statement. So Gemara at this point just brought the question from the first half of the brisa and is going to solve that problem. The rest of the brisa will be solved later on in the Gemara when we requalify or we narrow the position of Rav. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman said back to him, look, I don't have a problem. I could solve you. The ratio of that Raisa was outside of Beis Din, and the Seifa was in Beis Din. I'm not going to give you such an answer that is not so strong, because you don't want to set up a brisa where it's in two places, one's in Beis Din, one's out of Beis Din, but rather, I'll tell you, either be the Beis Din. Both the Reisha and the Sefer are cases that were in Beis Din. Velo Kasha, and nevertheless, it's still not a question why, kan b'kafatz, kan b'shlo kafatz. Depend who is forcing the Shavuah. Meaning that the Shavuah, you could be in the possession, you could be in the context of Beis Din, you can be present in the Beis Din, but yet may not be a Shavuot Adayanim, where it's kan k'kafatz, where he jumped. Meaning that the claimant or the person who's toin here jumped and forced him and said to the defendant, take a shvuah, and he does, and he goes in and takes the shvuah in Beis Din. So even though it's in Beis Din, it's still not shvuat adayanim because the shvuah is being generated by the claimant and not by the Beis Din. So that's the ratio case. That's why in that case, in the Eidin Kam, he's still chayav, because that can't be in lieu of payment. But the other case, or the safer case, again, is shvuah kafatz, was where Beis Din actually did make it with shvuat adayanim. And because it was Shvat Adanim, then Enoch HaKanami, Rav would believe that it should be Potur. Again, now, why is that a problem? Then the Seifa for Rav, we're going to see in a couple minutes that Rav's, all the cases there are going to be narrowed down and not be in the purview of Rav's statement. So Amalei Rav Rami Bar Chama Rav Nachman, Michte. So Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Nachman, let's see, the Rav Lo Sviyalach, you don't hold of Rav's position. Mashkuni Nafshecha Rav Lamalach. What are you going through all this trouble to answer, to step into the shoes of Rav and answer up all these problems for Rav? If you don't hold of him, why are you going out of your way to help or to support the position of Rav? Amalei lefushay to the Rav. I'm just coming to explain Rav's position. The Rav hachay mitaritz lelemesnis, and this is how Rav explains these mishnayot, or how Rav's going to explain these problems here. I'm not coming to say that Rav's right. I'm just going to say, you know, I want to explain Rav or explain how he can fit into these situations. V'harav ka'ra kamar. What do you mean, I'm trying to solve Rav and fit him into the Mishnah or fit him into Mishnayot? Rav has a pasuk. He's darshaning a pasuk. What does it matter if it fits in the Mishnayot, doesn't fit in the Mishnayot? He has an explicit limud. It says, Imre, k'ra b'chol nishba'im shvetara nishba'im v'lo mishalmim hu da'ata. There's a possibility that the pasuk that Rav brings we could use for another limud. Maybe it's not really Rav, maybe it's an asmachta, maybe Rav just indicated, but we have a different use for this pasuk. Why? Because the pasuk says, V'lakach balav v'lo yishalem, that the Baalim will accept the Shvu'ah and the Shomer will not pay. This comes to teach us that every Shvu'ah min Torah is a Shvu'ah to be Patur. We discussed this earlier in the beginning of the Taf, that Nishba'im v'lo mishalmim. And any Shvu'ah min Torah is that the defendant takes the Shvu'ah in lieu of payment and therefore he'll be Patur. Whereas if it's a case of the Rabbanan, we have cases of Nishba'in Vinotlin, that the person, the claimant, can make a Shua and take money over there. But Min HaTorah, that's the only case. So if we use the Pasuk for that, right, V'lakach Bala V'lo Yishalem, Mishalav L'Shalem Hu Nishba, the one who has to pay, meaning the defendant, is the one who takes the Shua, then Rav doesn't have a Pasuk or a limud anymore from the Pasuk to support his position. Therefore, I'm coming to be Mitaretz, I'm coming to explain the position of Rav and how he can fit into all these situations. So, Meitiv Rav Nuna asked the question, Yishbi'alav Chamisha Pi'amim. He took a Shvu'ah five times, meaning that he denied the fact that he had this person's Pikadon, Ben Bifnei Bezin, whether it was in front of Bezin, Ben Shalom Bifnei Bezin, whether it wasn't in front of Bezin, Ve'kafar Alav. In these denials, each time he denied it and took a shvuah, chayav al kolachat v'chati. He's chayav for each instance that he took a shvuah. Rabbi Shimon Matam, why is he chayav five times? There's really only one denial here. Why should he be chayav five times? He says, ho v'yachol lachzor lo'odot. Because after each instance where he took a shvuah, he could have admitted to the fact that he was lying. And the fact that he could have admitted to lying already makes it into mamon again, a monetary object, and something that he could have owed money on. And when he takes the subsequent shvuah, he's taking a shvuah on a monetary matter, and that'll make him chayav. And again, according to Rav, that shouldn't be the case. The Rav should be, after he took the first Shvua, it was over. The case is closed. So any Shvua, subsequent Shvua, is irrelevant because it's not relevant to the case. The case has been closed, according to Rav. The Ba'alim accepted the Shvua, and we're done. So, in this case, you can't give the explanations that Rav Nachman gave before, of Kafatz, Lo Matir Amart, you can't say that, because it says he should be Alav Ketani. Should be Alav indicates that someone else placed the Shvua, forced the Shvua on him. The only person who can force the Shvua on him is Beis Din. Chutz Beis Din Lo Matir Amart, you can't say this took place outside of Beis Din, like the other answer of Rav Nachman earlier, and Bifnei Beis Din Ketani. Because it says right in front, he did Bifnei Beis Din, that he did in front of Beis Din. So he says, Umotiv Lav, Umifarik La. Right, he asked the question, then he answered it. Let's study him, Ktani. The Braisa is really, it's not one big picture, but rather, let's study him, Ktani. He should be alive, chutz the Beis Din. If they forced him to take a Shua, I mean, Beis Din imposed a Shua, and he took it outside of Beis Din, to mean that he has the imposition of the Dayanim, but yet he did it outside the context of Beis Din, or the Beis Din Mekafat. It was Bifnei Beis Din, he did it in Beis Din, but it was done in Beis Din, right, without the Dayanim imposing the Shua, but rather by Kafatz. So in both of those cases, he's missing one factor that makes it a Shvuat HaDayanim, and since he's missing one of those factors, we won't accept that Shvuah in lieu of payment. So now, we have another question on Rav, which is going to force us now to amend Rav's position. Meiti Rav, Bala Bait Shita'an Tanat Ganav. The owner who says, I mean, the Shomer says that he was Tan Ganav Ganav V'Pikadon V'Nishpa. He took a Shvuah to the fact that he was watching Pikadon and it was stolen, and now he takes the Shvuah to be Patur V'Hodeh, and then he admitted, U'Bao Yidim, and then afterwards Yidim come. If he admitted to taking it before the Edim showed up, Mishalem Karen v'chomesh v'asham, then he pays it like Shvat any Shvat to Pikadon. If it's after the Edim came, he admits it, Mishalem Tashlum Kevel, then he pays Kevel v'asham. He leaves out the Chomesh, because the Chomesh is subsumed in the Kevel, which we'll see later on in a couple of daven, also in Perek Meruba, that you don't pay both Kevel and Chomesh. If you're paying Kevel already, the Chomesh is taken care of. V'acha chutz the Beis Din. This was outside of Beis Din. With kafatz, lo matzid amart, right? You can't say over here chutz the beizin with kafatz lo matzid amart. You can't use the answer of Nachman that was outside of beizin or kafatz. Why? Because it says kefel. The only time you're chayiv kefel is in beizin itself and with a shvata dayanim. So this is clearly a shvata that was imposed by the dayanim, and it was a case of pikadon. And yeah, nevertheless, we see that if Edim come, he'll still be chayav. That goes directly against the position of Rav. Elam Rav. Well, no, we're gonna have to fix or amend Rav's statement or narrow Rav's statement. Avarava kol hode lo shna toin tanat avad lo shna toin tanat ganav lo amar Rav. Rav was not addressing a case where a person comes and admits. That's the first qualification of Rav's statement. Rav's statement is simply about that we don't say that a shvuah. When someone takes a shvuah, the case is closed, and the item really becomes his now, and the Baalim doing any money back, if he comes back and admits that he lied. Because that's the exact case of the Torah, Daktiv Itvada, that we know that when the case that he pays Karen V'chomesh, when he actually admits to doing wrongdoing. So that's the exact case of the Torah, where he takes the Shvuah, and then he admits it afterwards, he still has to pay Karen V'chomesh and Hashem. So if that's the situation in which he's Chayav, then it's clear that the Shvuah is not sufficient in that case. So Rav is not addressing that case. So that leaves out a whole section of problems that we had before, where it says that he admitted to doing wrongdoing, he has to pay. So all of those cases we don't have to worry about, because Hodeh Rav did not address. There's also another qualification Rav said in the statement, which is, in a case where he was Toein Tanat Ganav, where the Shomer said that it was stolen from him, takes a Shvuah to that effect, and then later on, either Edim come, or even if he admits himself, in either of those cases, he will not be Chayav. If he admits by himself, he's not Chayav, because we just said that. Any admission does not make him Chayav. If Edim come, he's also Chayav, and not Patur in this case. Why? Because that's the case of Kefel. I mean, that otherwise you can't have a case of Toin Tanat Ganav. You can never have a case where he's Toin Tanat Ganav and pays Kefel. Because anytime he's Toin Tanat Ganav, takes a Shvuah, according to Rav, if Rav said in that statement he's Patur, then how would you ever get to a case of a Shomer who's Toin Tanat Ganav who pays Kefel? As soon as he takes the Shvuah, he's Patur and the case is over. And if it's a case of Hodeh, when he admits it, there he pays Karen Chomesh and Hashem. He doesn't pay Kefel because that's a Knas. And a Modeh B'Knas is Patur. So Rav was not addressing that case either. So what Rav basically did was narrow down the positions or the case in which Rav says this. Because, Toin Tanat Ganav Ubo Edim Nami Lo Amar Rav, the Haktiv Tashlumei Kefel. Because there, the pasuk explicitly says that he has to pay kefo. If he has to pay kefo, then obviously the shvua is not sufficient. Ki kama Rav. So when does, where is Rav's statement said? It's about this one narrow case. Gon shutoin tanat avad. In a case where the shomer makes a claim that it was lost, vinishba, and he takes the shvua, velo hodet, and he doesn't admit it. Ubawi dim. In that case, when edim show up, then it's patur because the case is closed. That's what Rav's statement is about, this one narrow case of toin tanavad, vinishba velo hodet, ubawi dim. So all the other cases before, which were a question for Rav's statement, we can fit them into the other categories. Either they were categories of toin tanat ganav, or they were categories of hodet matzmo, they admitted by himself. But cases of toin tanat avad, and Edim coming, that we didn't have before. Or if we did have those cases, we can explain those cases as being kafats or outside of Beis Din where it wasn't a Shvuat HaDayanim. Now the Gemara, or Azal Rav Gamda, Vamra the Shmaita, Kameda Rav Ashi, Rav Gamda told over this whole sugya that we just discussed in front of Rav Ashi, Amalei. Hashda, now you're trying to answer up for Rav this way. If Rav really said this, then Rav Hamnuna came to ask the question. It's a little strange. Why is that? Hashda, my Rav Hamnuna tell me de Rav. Rav Hamnuna is a Talmud of Rav and knew in which instances, or should know in which instances, Rav made such a statement. V'yada da amar Rav hode. And he knows, and he knew that Rav said it even in a case where he admitted it. Even in a case where the Shomer admits afterwards of the wrongdoing, that Rav says the case is closed and the Shvuah closes the case. Because why? Where does Rav Humnun ask this question from? A case of Hodeh. A case where he is admitting it himself. Rav? And you're coming along all of a sudden, Rav, and saying Rav never addressed the case of Hodeh? What do you mean? Rav never addressed the case of Hodeh, then why is Rav Hamnuna, his Talmid, asking him from a case of Hodeh? Because he could have simply answered, or he should have known that Rav never made a statement in that instance. So it seems strange that Rav Hamnuna is asking from a case of Hodeh when Rav never even addressed that case. He says, Amalei, no, Rav Acha Sava the Rav Ashi, and Rav Acha Sava said to Rav Ashi, I can tell you why. Rav Hamnuna's question is even despite the fact that Rav didn't say in a case of Hodeh, why is that? Rav Hamnuna's question really derives or is probably, his problem with Rav's position really comes from a different angle, which is what? If you agree that what when he takes a shvua and edim come along, you are chayav afterwards, then it makes sense that I make him chayav for each subsequent shvua. Because why? After he takes the first shvuah, there's a possibility that he could be money, or this could become a monetary problem for him. Why? Because Edim could show up and testify that he's wrong. If they testify that he lied, then it becomes a monetary obligation again. When he takes the subsequent shvuah, he's denying the money again. And when he makes such a denial, it'll be chayav again and again and again, because each time there's a possibility that Edim will show up and make it into a, or that basically would make it into an additional monetary claim, or there's a possibility of a monetary claim, and therefore you can be mechayev him for each shvuah. On the other hand, if you say shvuah b'ajaracha, mechayev in like carbon shvuah b'ajaracha, hovi yachol akzor lo'odot. Eli amart ki atu edim patur. If you say in a case where edim come, he is patur. Mim ika mide dilu atasadi masadi be patur. How can you have a case where if edim show up and testify that it's patur, v'anu nikel mechayev carbon shvuah? And then he goes in and takes a shvuah, hovi yachol akzor lo'odot. Because he can go back and admit it. He can make it into a monetary claim by the fact that he admits that he's lying. At this point, he hasn't made the admission. Until he makes the admission, there is really no monetary claim against him. So the subsequent shvot are not really relevant to our case, or not really shvot on a monetary kfirat mamon, or denial of money. On the other hand, if there's an outside factor, an outside individuals that can be mechayivim the mamon, then in each instance that he takes the shvuah, it's an additional denial, because the fact that edim could show up and be mechayiv him means that it's not simply in his hands. It's not just, if he admits it, but rather as soon as edim show up, he would be chayav. And since he would be chayav if edim show up, the claim is still a monetary claim. If it's a monetary claim, he takes the shvuah, it'll be chayav in each instance. So for this, the conclusion, or the Gemara, is that Rav's statement we did narrow down according to Rav as qualification. The Rav didn't say that a shvuah is sufficient to the Balim, and therefore they would not, the defendant will not have to pay after he takes a shvuah once the Balim accept it. Only in a case of toin tanat avad, where Shomer makes a claim of avad that it was lost, and then we find out later that he takes the shvuah and poter himself, and then we find out later he was lying. In that instance, we don't say he has to pay because the shvuah was accepted by Lima, it's done. In a case where he's hodeh, in a case where he admits to doing wrongdoing. That's whether he claimed that it was stolen or whether he claimed that it was lost. So he admits to his chayab, because that's the case in the Torah of taking a shvua modeh. That's when he paints a keren chomesh v'asham. So that's not the case where Rav made a statement. In addition, with 20 tanat ganav ubar edim, in a case where he was 20 tanat ganav and edim come and claim, there also is chayab kefil. And we don't say that the shvua is sufficient, because that's the case of 20. Otherwise, you would have no case of 20 tanat ganav in the Torah. It's exactly the case where the Torah says you pay kefil, is where you take a 20 tanat ganav, take a shvua, and then you have to pay kefil. So based on that, we can explain all the brightot beforehand, plus the brightot that seem to be a steer at the Rav, we can explain as being outside of Beis Din or Kafats, where it's not a Shvata Dayanim. The question of Rav Hamnuna was the Talmud of Rav, who knew that Rav didn't say by Hodeh. Why is, what's his question? His question was not about Rav, whether he knew Rav didn't say by Hodeh. He knew that that wasn't an issue over here. So what was his question? His question was, according to Rav, how do you have a case where you're going to be Chayav five times? Meaning that, if I say to you that Toin Tanat Avad and Edim come afterwards, you're Chayav Mamon, then we have an ability, or there's still really a monetary obligation that's out there, because Edim come along and be Mechayav you each time. So therefore, when you take a Shvu'ah, you're being Kofer in Mamon, or in a monetary claim. On the other hand, if the only way to create a monetary claim is by you admitting that you lied, until you admit that you've lied, the monetary claim has now been, in a sense, dismissed by the first Shvu'ah, and any subsequent Shvu'ah is not really on a monetary claim, but rather is a standalone Shvu'ah. It's really not about the case anymore, because the case was closed, or the monetary claim of the case at least was closed after the first Shvu'ah. Okay, now the Gemara continues with this new statement. Amar Rabbi Chir Ba'av, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaTuein Tanat Ganav V'Pikadon, a person who makes a claim, a shomer, who makes a claim by a pikadon, something that was left to him to watch, Mishalem Tashlumi Kefel, then he pays Tashlumi Kefel. If he's found to be Ganav, it's found to be in his possession and not stolen. Tavachu Machar, he's found not only to be in his possession, but he also was Tovechu Machar, Mishalem Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, he'll pay four or five times, basically the same exact principles that we have by a regular ganav. By a regular ganav who steals, is it found to stolen by a demi pays kevel, and if he stole it plus he was tovech umacher, he pays four or five times, depending if it's a seh or a shur. Now the Gemara says, what's the explanation? This whole ganav mishalem tashlumei kevel, but toin tanat ganav mishalem tashlumei kevel. Just like a regular ganav, when he's found to have stolen, he pays kefil. And so too, a toin tanat ganav, a shomer who makes a claim of gneva and is found to be the actual ganav himself, he pays mishalem tashlumei kefil. Ma ganav, just like a regular ganav, shu mishalem kefil, tavachu machar mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. In a regular case of gneva, he pays kefil. Whereas if he shechted it or sold it, he pays four or five times. Av toin tanat ganav, so too, a toin tanat ganav, bikadon. In a case where shomer makes claims of gneva with a pikadon, kushimishalem tashlumei kefil, when he pays and he's found to be the ganav himself, he'll pay kefil. Tavachu machar, if he sold it or shechted it, mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamish, he'll pay four or five times. Where it says, how can you compare a ganav to a toin tanat ganav? Reb Chira bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, how can you make such a statement? Why, there's a big difference between a ganav and a toin tanat ganav. What is that? Ma the ganav shkin mishalem tashlumei kefil shlo b'shvua. Maybe a ganav has a chumrah. The chumrah by a ganav is that a ganav does not require a reshivu'ah to be chayav in kefel. So therefore, maybe that's why he pays four or five times when it comes to tvicha u'mechira. Tomar b'toin tanat ganav. B'toin tanat ganav has a kula she'im eshalem tishum kefel b'shivu'ah. Here, if he just makes a claim that it was stolen and didn't take a shvu'ah, he does not pay kefel. In order to be chayav kefel, he also has to take a shvu'ah, as we learned in the Gemara in Perek Merubah. So if that's the case, how can you make a kal v'chomer or almost a hema hechitimtza that just like it works like this way by ganav, it'll work this way by toin tanat ganav? Cases are not comparable. Ganav works without a shvu'ah. Toin tanat ganav requires a shvu'ah. Mar says that's not a problem. Imre hekeshei. It's really a hekesh between ganav and toin tanat ganav. Vein mishivina lekesha. And we don't look, or we can't make logical arguments when it comes to a hekesh. A hekesh stands despite the fact that it may not be logical or not may not fit the requirements of being a logical conclusion one from the other. So where do we have this hekesh? We have that hekesh from the parsha of Shomer Chinam in Parsha Mishpatim, Perach Chavbet. Right there, the Gemara learned in Perach Mubah. It says in Pasuk Vav, Kitain ish arei o kesev eklim lishmar v'gunav mibet ish im yimatzeh haganav yishlem shnayim. That's one case. And then the next case in Pasuk Zayin is im lo yimatzeh haganav. And the Gemara Mubah set up that one of these cases is a case of ganav, a regular ganav, and one of these cases is a case of toin tanat ganav. So in the same parsha, two psukim in a row, we have a case of ganav, and we have a case of toin tanat ganav. So that hekesh, that parallel, or that juxtaposition of then the psukim that creates the hekesh, tells us that just like the din by a regular ganav is kefel and arba and chamisha and 4 or 5 times, so too by toin ganav you'll have a case of kefel and arba and chamisha. Mar says, Anich lemandamar chad b'ganav v'cham b'toin tanat ganav shapir. That works well according to the mandamar and ruba that learns the parsha shomachinam to be talking about two different cases. One case of ganav, which imi matzei ganav, and the other case of toin tanat ganav, which is im lo yimatzei ganav. That works well. Lemandamar ha yimatzei ganav im lo yimatzei ganav tavayu b'toin tanat ganav. Right, we had another position of the Brisa, so the alternative Brisa and the Gemara in Ruba, who it says that they both imatzei aganav and im lo imatzei aganav. Pesukim vav and zayin, they're both in Parsha Shomachinam, are both talking about a case of toin tanat ganav. And he learns out the regular case of ganav from the earlier pesukim by Machteret, which is in Perchav Bet pesukim. Imatzei tametzei biyadua gneiva mishuar chamoratzei chaim shnayim yishalim. So they learn a regular ganav from a totally different pasuk. Then we don't have this hekesha. So where is he going to learn the fact that a toin tanat ganav is going to pay arba v'chamisha? It says no problem because alamam dehai imatzei ganav imlei tanat tavar b'toin tanat ganav ma'ikal meima imre ganav haganav. There's a hey. There's an extra hey there, which is im yimatzei haganav and im lo yimatzei haganav. So the hey, that extra hey is a ribuya. As Rashi points out, that ribuya will come to teach us that anything that's applicable by a ganav will also be applicable by a toin tanat ganav. So the ribuya kra teaches us that. So now, etave Rab Chir Ba'avo, the Rab Yochanan. So Rab Chir Ba'avo, who quoted this position in the name of Rab Yochanan, about the fact that a toin tanat ganav can pay both kefel and arba v'chamisha, he also then asked the question, is that really true? That by just like a ganav pays it, so does toin tanat ganav. Is that really true? Why? We have a case of a brisa. Hechen shori, if he says to him, where is my shor? And the shomer says back to him, nigdaf, it was stolen. Mashbiach, and he says, take a shvuah to that effect. V'ramamein, he says, sure, I'll take a shvuah. V'edim edim oto shachlo. And then edim come along and say that he ate it. Mishalem tashlume kefel. Then he pays a kefel. So here's a case with a animal that was given over to Pikadon, and the shomer is saying, toin tanat ganav. And what did he do? He ate it. In order to eat it, there's only one way you can come to eat it, and that's by shechting it. And despite the fact that he shechted it, he's only paying kefil here, and he's not paying arba v'chamisha. Why not? So when I says, tashlumi kefil in, tashlumi dal v'heilo. So when I says, achumai skinan kagon shechlo nevela. He didn't shecht it. He ate it as a nevela. So if he ate it as a nevela, then he's chayv kefil because he stole it, but he didn't fulfill the requirements of tvicha or mechira, and therefore he doesn't pay 4 or 5 times. So when I says, well, why did he give the answer that it's a nevela? I have other alternatives to answer this question. That he ate it as a treifa. I mean, that he did shecht it. But the shechita was not a shechita ruya because the animal was found to be a treifa. So we know that a shechita she'ena ruya is lo shmei shechita. So that the Gemara says, no, that's only Rabbi Shimon's position. He holds like Rabbi Meir. Damar shechita she'ena ruya shma shechita. That a shechita that is not a good shechita is still called a shechita. As long as he did a proper shechita and it was found to be a treifa afterwards, that's enough of a shechita to mechayev arba chamisha. So he couldn't use that as the answer that he ate a treifa. Maybe it'll be a case. Why don't we explain that the case here is a case of ben pkua that does not require shechita. I mean, this is a case of a babe, a mother who is shechted, and after she shechted, there's a baby found to be alive inside, a fully live baby. Since the baby is a part of the mother's shechita, it's niteret. It becomes mutar through the shechita of the mother, and the animal can be eaten without shechita. So here we have a case where you can come to eat it without shechita, and therefore he'll never come to the chiyuv of dalid v'chamisha. Gemara says, wait a minute, that's the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Shuzuri. But we could hold like Rabbi Meir. Remember, Damar ben Pekua to un shechita. That ben Pekua still requires shechita, so that's why he didn't give the answer. Let us say there was a case where he's already omeid badin, because once he's omeid badin, right, then he's no longer chayav 4 and 5 times. Why is that? The Beis Din paskan on him, he stole the item, and says, go pay him back his karen, his kefil. If the Beis Din goes out and commands him to go give it back, already they give a psak halacha and demand of him to pay it. If after that fact he goes ahead and stovech umachar, he's patur. Why? My time came to paske le milte v'tavach umachar v'gazlan. Since the Beis Din already is posek that it's not his item, it does not belong to him, then if he goes ahead and is tovech a mocher, at that point he switches from being a ganav, which he originally was, to a gazlan now. Gazlan lo mashalim tashlumi arba chamisha. Gazlan is not the parsha of kefil or 4 or 5 times. Why? Because here he's doing, he knows it's known that it's this guy's item, and he's doing it at the broad daylight, he's shechting the animal, he's stealing, he becomes a gazlan, as opposed to what he was before, which was a ganav. Chayava Tanlitain Lo. On the other hand, the Beis Din just says that you're supposed to give it to him, but they didn't come. They didn't give him a final psakah. They didn't demand of him to give it back. Tavachu Machar Chayav. In that case, he's still under the parsha of Gneva, his original Gneva. If he's Tovechu Mecher, then he's Tovechu Mecher as part or an extension of the original Gneva. In that case, he'll pay 4 or 5 times. My time, why in this case not? Until the Beis Din gives a final psak and tells him to go ahead and do it, Akata Ganav, who is still in the parsha of Ganav. So it says, Imre, Litamech, if you think that's the only other alternative, I have many other alternatives. Lishne Lebe Shutaf. This is a case of Shutafim. Two people stole an item together. Shutavach, Shalomi Dat Chaviro. And then one of the two Ganavim in the partnership here went and shechted the animal without permission of the other party. And because, what, in that case, he's not chayav tovechu mecher. Well, for one of two reasons. Rashi, they brings down the two reasons. He actually brings both reasons down. It seems from the Kiva Eger that it should read inami, that it's really one of these two reasons. Each one should be sufficient. It's either that we have a limud, chamisha bakar, right, in the pasuk, chamisha yishalem tachat ashor, va'arbatzon tachat aseh. Say, chamisha bakar, velo chamisha chatzei bakar. Not five full bakar, but not half bakar, because this shutaf, if he shechs without pressure other, he'll only be chayav for half. And he'll have to pay half of five bakar, and that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says full five and not half of five. Or, the other possibility is, it's not called tvacho kulo b'chiyuva. It's not a tvicha of total chiyuv, because over here, he doesn't own the other half to be mechayev and to be chayav for that tvicha. He can be shecht his half and be do that b'chiyuva, but the other half is not shecht b'chiyuva. So for whatever reason, he's patur over here, but nevertheless, that could have been the case. The case could be here is that he stole it. That's why it's chayav to kefel. But on the other hand, when he eats it, there's no tficha mechira here because there's a failure in the chiyuv of tficha because he's a shutaf. He's a partner with someone else. Ella, so what's the answer? Chadamitriyot latanaka. He gave one of a number of possibilities of answers to solve this problem. So this brisa will not be a problem or a question on Rabbi Yochanan's position because I can explain away this brisa. Brisa in a case where it's not a case where he's going to come to be chayav 4 or 5 times, and there are a number of ways to explain it away that way. So I'm Rabbi Chia, new statement. I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Chia bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Toin tanat ganav be'avidah mishalem tashlumei kefil. Person who found a lost item, and then the claimant or the person, the owner of the lost item comes to him and says, listen, you have my lost item. And he says, you know what? It was stolen from me. I did have your lost item, but now it's stolen. Meshalem teshlumei kefil. He pays kefil. So a toin tkanat ganav by an aveda pays kefil. My time, oh. Why is that the case? Tichtiv al kol aveda. Because in the parsha of Shomer Chinam, where it says that he is patur through toin tkanat ganav, one part of the pasuk says al kol aveda. So we're going to read aveda being here literally. Aveda. Shomer aveda shiomar. So eitvei rabbi avo bar mamal rabbi chir bar avo. Well, is this really true? Is that really true that someone who is a Shomer Aveda and makes a claim of Toyin Tanat Ganav pays Kefil? Well, I'll bring you another case, a totally different case, but we're going to see in a second why we're going to compare these cases. Right? Because, Ki Yitein Ish. Right? It says, by the Pasha of Shomrim, Ki Yitein Ish. Eini Tinat Katan Klum. If a Katan gives something, it's not classified as really giving. So that means that Ki Yitein Ish, when someone gives over a Pikadon to another person to watch, when an individual gives it to the Shomer to watch, if he's a Gadol, if he's an Ish, then he will be within the confines or within the Parsha, the rules of the Parsha, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Tzachar that are written in the Torah. Other than if it's a Katan who's giving over the Pikadon, the individual will not be Chayav according to the Parshiot Torah. Why? Because it says Gitein Ish. When a man, a fully grown man, a Gadol, gives over the object to be watched by the Shomer, that's when you're Chayav. But not in the cases where it's a Katan who's giving it over. So you won't be Chayav Kefel, you won't be have to take a shvua, all these other items won't have application here. It says, from that part, so I would only know that when he gave it when he was a katan, and the claim was made when he was still a katan, he comes and says, you have my item. But what happens in a case, he gave it over when he was a katan, and then he makes the claim when he's a gadol, and he says, where's my stuff? Come back. Minayin, that he's still patur, that doesn't fit into this parsha. Tamalomar, ad elohim yavo dvar shnehem. Right, that until the Beis Din, or until the Shvu'ah, their item will go. Until there's some sort of consonance between the giving point, at the point that the Pikadon was given over, and the claim was done. So they both have to be done in a point of Kitein Ish, in a time when there was a fully grown, when he was a man, when he was over the age of Bar Mitzvah. But if he's a Katan, in either one of those situations, obviously it's only possible in the case of Netina, then the Tviyah is meaningless. Now, according to this is the question. Now, on the position of Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, that quoted the name of Rabbi Yochanan, how the giving of a katan is no worse than an aveda. In case of aveda, nobody gave me the item. I end up becoming the shomer aveda because I found the item out of hefker. I found it out in the street. And now I'm responsible to return it. So when the person comes and says, where's my aveda? He says, don't you have my aveda? And he says, no, it was stolen from me. So why is that different than a katan? A katan that gives it over to shomer to watch, he's no worse than an aveda. So fine, he can't give. He doesn't have the ability to give. So even if you just say that the shomer now has it in his possession, just like an aveda, now he should be responsible for it. So how come you, Reb Chiya, and the name of Reb Yochanan says by a shomer aveda who's toyin tanat ganav, he's got to pay kefil. Yeah, when it comes to a katan who gives it, and then we have a toyin tanat, right, ganav, in that case he does not have to pay kefil. Why is that? So I'm like, how come I skina? Wait a minute. This case is different. The case by the katan is a case kagon shachlo kashu katan. It's a case where the shomer already destroyed or used up the item before he became a gadol. Meaning that the problem what we have here is that there is no taina. He can never make a claim once he is a gadol. Because the shomer, number one, got it, came into his possession when the giver or the owner was a katan. And he also consumed it. He ate it and he used it up before the katan ever became a gadol. So the katan has never the opportunity to make a claim when he is a gadol, because the item's already gone. Aval shehu gadol, but if he was a gadol when the item was consumed or when he came to make the claim, my will be the din hachanami the mishalim. Then he would have to pay for it in that case, and he would be in the parsha of toyantanat ganav, just like a shomer aveda is. If that's the case, then why does the Bereishis say that the only time you're chayav is when the netina and tviyah shavim ke'echad, the giving and the claim happen at the same time, they both have to be a gadol. Litnei achitei achil'ah v'tviyah shavim. The point is not about, it has nothing to do with the netina. The netina is irrelevant over here. It has nothing to do when it was given. The only thing that matters over here is the achil'ah and the tvila, when the actual item was consumed, and number two is when the claim is made. That both the consumption of the item, or the use of the item by the shomer, plus the claim by the katan, who was originally a katan, who gave it over to him, has to be when he is a gadol. That's the only thing that matters. That's what you should do. Change the braisa to read. And that's why they are chayav in this case. Rav Ashi gives a different shot. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Domi. Cases are in comparison. How you can compare a case of katan to a case of aveda? By aveda ka'achi mikoach ben dat. The aveda, even though now he finds it on the street, it originally came from a bendat. It came from a gadol. The gadol is one who lost it out there, and the one who's taking it, the shomer aveda, is taking it into his possession from the hand of a gadol. So therefore, there's some sort of relationship of kone emakne that goes on here, because there's a bendat on the other end of the transaction. But on the other hand, vahalo achi mikoach bendat. On the other hand, the pikadon that we have here, where the katan gives it over to the shomer, there is no bendat on the other side. I mean, that there's no person who can be makne the item to the shomer, or obligate the shomer to watch it according to the laws or according to the shmirah that is demanded of the Torah, because he's not a makne of a bendat. So from this, the conclusion will be, based on whether you look at the answer to the question from this braisa on Reb Chiya bar Abba in the name of Yochanan, the one possibility is the answer the Gemara first gave. It depends on when the item was consumed. On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no, it has to do with where the item came from, the netina, how it was gotten into this position. Did it come from a bendat or no bendat? So nafkamina between these two positions is, as you look in the last Tosfos on the Yom, what it says, Valibi the Rashi, Damar in Yachola Shbia Klau. Even if the pikadon is still extant, it's still around now, even if the item is still around, he can't be mashbiah him. Because since the netina was given when it was a katan, that's a failure in the creation of the obligations of shomer, and therefore he can never be mashbiah him, according to Rashi. According to the first answer, as long as the pikadon is still around, then he could be mashbiyam. He could force him to take a shvua. When he becomes a gadol, the katan can now force him to take a shvua. Because as long as the pikadon is around when he was a gadol, then we have a taina of a gadol, and an instance where the pikadon was found around when he was a gadol. That's enough, according to that first answer, to obligate him in a shvua if the katan, who is now a gadol, makes a claim against him. As long as it was still around at the point that he became a gadol, that will be sufficient to allow him or to have him demand of the shomer to take a shvua. Okay, we'll stop over here.